Parshas Shoftim. Parshas Shoftim begins, Shoftim, the Shoftim, Titin Lecha B'chol Shorecha, you shall appoint a Shofet and a Shofer B'chol Shorecha. The Peshuta Shal Mirkum Lefi, the holy words of Rashi are, what is a Shofet, what is a Shofer? A Shofet is someone that tells you, Shoftim is Dayonim, HaPoiskim Es Hadim, they decide the law. A Shofer is someone that has a stick. Haroidim esam, they rule over the people with force. Achar mitzvosam, shemakin v'kofsim b'makal uv'ritzua ad sheyikabel olav es hadin. They hit with a stick and with a whip until the people are makabel the din. Two different types of rulers. A shofer is someone who decides. A shofer, like a shofer, we would call really an officer. Those that are in charge, a marshal. Those that are in charge to carry out the law. And the shofet is the one who decides the law. B'chol shorecha b'chol ir v'ir. So let's begin with the drush. The drush is, every time, we're now standing Erev Rosh Hashanah. Chodesh Elul, Parsha Shoftim, always the first week of Chodesh Elul. Elul is the opening to the Yimei Hadin, Yimei Haratzen, Yirech Leisanim. It is a new year. Every year is, we all know, is an entirely... It's a moment of intense transition. When a gate, a shar, is symbolic of coming into a new makom. Whenever we go through a gate, we don't know what to expect on the other side. A gate represents, here we are, we're in this location, in this domain, and we're now about to enter the unknown. We're going through a critical moment of transition in our life. A shar. When you enter into a new tikkuf in your life, the pasuk tells us you have to be very careful to take with you and to appoint over you in that moment of transition a shofet and a shofer. Now, as an extension of what Rashi says, what basically is a shofet? The difference between the two is a shofet is someone who tells you what to do. And a shofer is someone who tells you what not to do. If someone is taking out a whip and a stick and is beating you, that is a deterrent. Don't misbehave. Don't do the wrong thing. You don't really have shaitrim forcing you to do that. You do have it sometimes. Someone beats you up to do something. But that's not the typical. In society, most of the time you have a shaiter, someone that's going to hit you, someone's going to punish you. It's all a preventive measure or punishment for what you're not supposed to do. The government doesn't run around giving rewards to people who are honest in their taxes. The government comes and punishes people who are cheaters. So the ones who get the whip and get the stick are the people who are in violation of doing things that they're not supposed to do. The Musar Haskel is here as we come into the first week of Elul, Yimei Harachem, Yimei Hadin. We are standing in front of a shar, a new gate, a new entranceway to the unknown. A person has to recognize you just don't walk into the gate. You have to come prepared. And coming prepared involves two very different things. Number one, you have to have a plan of action, what to do, the shofet. You have to bring with you in your mind the shofet. What do I want to accomplish this year? And number two, you have to bring with you the shofet. You have to know to correct your mistakes what not to do. Look back in the past year, recognize the mistakes you've made, and know not to repeat those same mistakes. Shoftim v'shoitrim titeng l'cha b'chol sherecha. At every transition point in your life, bring with you, take with you both of these values, these ideals. A plan of action forward and a recognition, a protection, a plan to ensure you don't repeat your past mistakes. Okay, let's go to the next idea. Next idea, it says the positive, do not take erect for yourself a matzeva, which is hated by Hashem. There's a fascinating Rashi, and before we mock into Rashi, let's just remember there's another pasuk in this week's parasha, a very important pasuk, which is used by Bali Halacha and Bali Machshava. L'sase gvul rishonim asher govlu rishonim. Do not trespass. The simple basic interpretation of the pasuk is in the middle of the night, there's landmarkers. Don't in the middle of the night take the boundary marker on the field and pick up the boundary marker and move it over a couple of feet in order to expand your territory. No one's going to know. We're dealing now before the days of Google Maps, before anyone has any special marker. Don't go and trespass. Do not go and change the boundary and take over someone else's land illegally. That's a simple interpretation. What?
It's only in Eretz
Yisrael. What do you mean? The whole world, what, Gezel is rooted in America? The whole world. Do not trespass. Why only Eretz Yisrael? Rashi says that Eretz Yisrael, the gules of Eretz Yisrael, it's a basic halacha. You're not allowed to trespass. If there's a boundary marker, you're not allowed to go and trespass. Don't go and take the marker and move the marker further to someone into your property to expand your territory. Now that's the pshutoi shel mikra. What is the extension? What is the metaphor of this pasuk? So many say, do not violate tradition. If there is a mesorah, if there is a custom in the Beis HaKnesset, Beis HaMegdash, among the community of how to do things, do not violate tradition. Do not trespass the boundary of your friend, asher govlu, which has been established, rishonim, has been established by those who came before you. If 50 years ago, 100 years ago, a Jewish custom has been established, there's been some type of tradition, that's what it is. It's one of the most basic yesoidos of yadus. Okay? Here, everybody, side, please. There's so many distractions. Please, let's try. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. So there are many ayin panim l'toyer in the Hanani. But in a similar interpretation, you do not trespass. Do not. With sasigul, the metaphor of the pasuk is do not overstep your limits in regard to minhoge Yisrael. In fact, Chazal said the word minhog is oisiyos gehenim. A person who violates a minhag goes straight to Gehenna. But where does it say in the Torah you're not allowed to do this or you should do this? It doesn't say it anywhere. Nowhere. There's absolutely no source for most minhagim. It's Jewish custom. It doesn't matter. It's all in Nichlal in the Pasuk of Lesasig Gvul Reacha Asher Govlu Rishonim. Do not violate, trespass the established boundaries of the world which have been put out before you by your predecessors. Now, what's very that this is something that is so fundamental, it's a Jewish tradition. Yet that pasuk, it's very important to contrast that pasuk, what it says over here in this pasuk, which many of us overlook. Do not erect for yourself a matzeva. Matzeva is a single stone mizbeach, asher, which is hated by Hashem. Rashi, pasuk of Beis, in the beginning of this parashah Shoftim, he writes, a altar that is made from one stone. Afilu lashamayim, even if you're offering a carbon to Hashem. Next words of Rashi. Asher sonei, mizbeach avonim u'mizbeach adama, tzivulas, Hashem told us to erect an altar that is made from many stones. The mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash was made from pebbles. Pebbles and lime. V'yezu sonei. Hashem hates this, an altar made from one stone upon which we offer a carbon. Ki cho koyo la kananim. Why? Because this is the way the non-Jews, the kananim, in Eretz Yisrael, they offer sacrifices to Hashem. V'yaf al pi shohoysa ahuvu lo bimei ha'ovois. But even though we find the ovois, we know the ovois, they made seven mizbechus. The ovois, where do we know that? We know that pasuk in Megillah. Bilam says, "Takadosh Baruch Hu, I've erected seven mizbechos." Rashi there says he built seven mizbechos corresponding to the seven mizbechos that the Ovois erected: four by Avraham, one by by Yitzchak, two by Yaakov, and the mizbechos that were erected by Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov were made from one stone, not from many stones. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had very chazivos, had love for the mizbechos that were erected by the Avos. Now Hashem hates it. Now that Elu, who is Elu? Translate for me the word Elu. Now that Elu, these people have made this a law for Avodah Zarah, who the Elu? The Canaanim. Now that the Goyim who live in Eretz Yisrael, they have established this as the only way you can offer a sacrifice to the gods is by offering a sacrifice upon an altar that's made from one stone. Therefore, Hashem, He detests these altars made from one stone because it reminds Him of Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Jews are forbidden forever to make an altar made from one stone. It must be made made from many stones. What's the question? The question is, but it's the Mesorah. It's the Mesorah. In the Beis HaMikdash, we'll find a giant stone and we'll be able to make it perfectly square. Hashem says, I hate this stone. This detestable in my eyes, because this is the way the Goyim offer sacrifices to their gods. Who cares about the Goyim? What about Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Tata? This is the Mesorah. This is the Mesorah. And it says in the Pasuk, Loi Sasig Vul Rishonim Asher Govlu Rishonot. Yeah?
If this is the way of the Canaanites, yeah. So why did the patriarchs give an open?
Well, they came first. The patriarchs came first. No, so it seems not. It seems not. It seems from a similar understanding is that the patriarchs were first, then came the Canaanim, and now when we have to build the Mizbeach, Hashem says no longer do it like the patriarchs because the Canaanim have made it into something disgusting, and therefore you have to make a Mizbeach made from many, many stones. Who cares? Since when are we so concerned about what the Goyim do? There are many things that we do in the Beis HaKnesses that are very similar. That are very similar to what the Goyim do. We don't pay much attention to the Goyim. We don't care. If we did it first, we did it first. Almost anything the Goyim do, they copied us. And if they copied us, so we go back to our Shoreshim. And in fact, we've all been brainwashed. This is the Mesorah. There is the Mesorah. There is tradition. Gesundheit. Yet what do we see from this? We see from this that's not necessarily so. And obviously, this is a balance which is almost impossible. It's a very tight wire. Which is almost impossible to know what to do. There are things in the Yadus when you have to follow tradition. If you deviate one mashu off the Mesorah, it's treason. Gehenim. Leisasigvul reishainim. But yet there are things that no, just because your grandfather did it doesn't mean you should do it. Where do you draw the line? That is the question that no one has the answer to. It's a very difficult balance. But now, here's the point I want to make. Unfortunately, there are times. Now, I want to tell you controversial things. Now, I just want to give you an example. I want to give you something which I believe, and I fully respect all those people who vehemently disagree with me. And there are people who do, with intensity, will tell me not be curious for saying this. I don't think so at all. And that's why, I'll just give you an example. Talk about Eretz Yisrael, the state of Israel today, Tov Shin Ayin Ches, going into Tov Shin Ayin Tes. To me, when I hear people today, Hayoyim, Erev Shabbos, Tov Shin Ayin Ches, Parsha Shoiftim, say things about the state of Israel, and they'll say to me, the Chazon Ish said this, and the Briskerov said this, and the Chofetz Chaim said this, and Rav Kook, he said this, and you'll quote me Gedolei Yisrael, and some of them said incredibly harsh things, and some of them said very positive things, and now you want to say that's what they said. Therefore. Let's say they said something very positive. So if today something is going on which is detestable, no, there was a very holy person 100 years ago who said something very positive, so therefore today it has to also be very positive. or vice versa. Someone, the Chazon Ish, says something that was horrifying, and therefore today you have to go and destroy the whole country, you have to burn all the flags, and you have to beat up all the soldiers. Because the Brisker Rav, he said this, and the Chazon Ish said this. Now to me, with the greatest Yiras Haroimimus, for the Gedolei Yisrael, Shemi Pim Anu Chayim, the greatest Yiras HaKovit of the Chazon Ish, the Brisker Rav, and all the Gedolim and Rav Kook and the whole spectrum, it's 100 years later. It's 70 years later. It's 60 years later. The facts on the ground are very, very different. If the Chazon Ish was here now, there is no one in this world can tell us what he would say today. There is no one in the world can tell us what the Chofetz Chaim would say today, Hayoim, today, about a situation that, whatever situation you want to, which is the headlines of the news. There is they spoke 70 years ago, 60 years ago, 100 years ago. They spoke in a different time to different people with different issues. Can we extrapolate? Maybe yes, maybe not. Mitzad echad l'sasik gvul re'acha asher govlu rishonim. But mitzad echad, Rashi says, there was something that was ohov b'mei ha'avos, and today it's sone, it's hated. It's a very powerful word for the Torah to say about something which the avos did. The avos hakidoshim, Bilam reinforced it. Eshivas hamizbochos orachti. I have arranged the seven mizbechos to knock out the avos who built for you, Hashem, the seven mizbechos. Even Bilam acknowledged the ahava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had for the mizbechos of the avos. And here this pasuk says, Asher sone Hashem Elokecha. Oh, but the avos did it. We came first. So the answer is, just because the others did it, the facts on the ground today are fundamentally different. Mitzat Sheni, everyone knows, the whole Yadlus is all built on a foundation of Misora. There's no Misora, forget it. We don't even start. Where do you draw the balance? I don't know, you need Gedolei Yisrael to draw the balance. You need Gedolei Yisrael, people who know what they're talking about, to draw the balance. But just to shoot off a loose cannon and to do things and to say things and to behave in ways based upon the Medina, Yimach Shalom V'Zichram and the Tzionim Harurim and this and that, because of what happened, you're telling me a story from 100 years ago, from what happened in Europe, and he said this and he said that, and the Chazon Ish said this, the Chazon Ish said that, and come on now, what are you talking about? You're right, that was a tkufa. The people today, they weren't even alive then. They cannot connect themselves to these are the facts on the ground. How do you deal with the matzav today? You have to be very careful. It's something which is abused. The koyach of the mesora is something which you have to. The Torah uses very much stronger words for not following the Messiah than for following the Messiah. For following the Messiah, the Ikur Makar is Losasi Gvul Reacha Asher Govlu Rishonim. There's no emotion. This is how it is. And then when it comes to not following tradition, the Torah uses a word which is shocking. Asher Sonei Hashem Elokecha. Today, if someone would say something like that, they would be banned. They would say, don't say you hate it. If the others HaKadoshim did it, yeah, this was the right thing. So today, we don't do it. We don't do it because for technical reasons. To go use the term Asher Sonei, only the Ribbono Shel Olam can say that. There's no human being that can ever go and make such a statement and say that the avos hakedoshim they did and today it's sane. You have to be very delicate in knowing where to draw the balance. And I won't even go so far to say a drush, which maybe you're not going to like. I emphasize when it says over here, af al pi shehoisahu lo bi avos achshav snua. Now it's hated. Rashi could have stopped right there. Rashi goes further. Mibnei mi'achar she'osu ha elu chok lavodah zarah. Who is the elu? So I want to say al derech derush, the elu is us. If we make it, if this is what they did 2,000 years ago, and we have to also do it, that Hashem says, is hated. Not the goyim. We. If we have to do exactly what the Avos did, that's Avodah Zarah. Because every generation has its challenges and its Avodah. It's required to figure out its derech. Of course, and it goes without saying, al pi the Mesorah, the Gedolei Yisrael, and with Hadracha from Gedolei Yisrael. But just because there was something done, there was a mahalich that was in practice 100 years ago, does not mean that attitude has to continue, has to continue to ever. You see online now, almost more and more often, the burning of the Israeli flag by Chared. You see that if a soldier, you know, if a Jew, Rachman Litzlan, goes into Hebron and goes into a bad neighborhood, so what happens? If he's lucky, there's a nice Arab that takes him into the basement, and you go on yourself and you call the Israeli army, and they send in a team of 3-4 people to extract you. But if a soldier goes into Mea Shearim and he gets harassed, and he goes into a store to hide in the basement, they have to bring in a battalion to get him out of Mea Shearim. Does that make any sense to you? Why? Because the Chazon Ish said this. And the Briskerov said this. What, are you crazy?
Would he have done it now?
It doesn't make sense. This is the Ritzoyin HaBoyre. This is what Hashem wants from us. This make sense? This doesn't make any sense. To go burn flags, even then go back home, they burn flags then? The people who were the anti-Zionists, the most extreme elements of the anti-Zionist movement, they burned flags 70 years ago? Did they?
No.
I never read about the anti-Zionist, the Haredi, the people who mamish Eish Lahava against Zionism. They burn flags. In America, if you burn the American flag today, they'll kill you.
No.
They'll lynch you.
Where?
Yes, they will.
Not
no? In Brooklyn, if you go on Avenue J, you burn the American flag, they won't kill you?
No.
You go to Manhattan? No?
No.
Alright, I'm living in a fantasy world. I don't think if you would burn the American flag in America in public, in New York City, it's protected. Yeah, there are a lot of things that are protected by the law. I don't think it's gonna go very well. I really don't think so. And in Israel, a Jew can do this. Forget about religion. It's just is this what you do? Is this what you do? And all because you're gonna, and why are you doing this? Halachic reasons. This is the Mesorah. This is the Mesorah? Really? This is the Mesorah? This is Avodah Zarah. The people who say that since this was the attitude 100 years ago, this has to be the attitude today. Me'achar she'osu'uho elu. If us, we the Jews, are so rigid, we're so stubborn, we're so locked in, then this has to be the only derech forever and ever, and there's no room to adapt. That's a chayk l'avodah zarah. And that's why Hashem says, just because the avos made with avonim doesn't mean you have to make it with avonim. Now, of course, I'm just trying to be a little bit of extreme in order to just the contrast, but it goes without saying, you have to balance that with Mesoira. There's no question about it. And this is the most fundamental principle of Yadus, is to be true to the tradition. You don't deviate from the Mesoira one mashahu. But there are degrees and there are extreme things which has to be balanced with what it says beferish in this pasuk. Asher sonei Hashem Elokecha. It was ohuv bimei ha'ovois, and now it's sonei. That's an extreme statement. That is an extreme statement that only the Ribbono Shel Olam can say. Okay, let's go to another idea. Enough said. Let's go to The next idea, I really feel strongly about that. What I tell you, I see things that just shock me, and no one speaks out. No one is speaking out, and it's getting worse and worse. No one is coming to stop this trend, and the only ones that are speaking out are people that are encouraging to continue the trend, to make things even to make the division even worse. I don't know where
I don't know.
That's the Ritzoyin Habayrei.
That is the episode.
This is a real Avodah Zarah. This is the Ritzoyin. Is this what Hashem wants? Yes, yeah. Stop. Just wait. Is this what Hashem wants? Is the Ritzoyin Habayrei? I don't know.
No.
I told you. Everything in balance. Everything in balance. You know what I mean, okay? A mature person understands what I mean. You know what I mean. Everything has a Mesorah. Malbushim, yes. I mean, obviously, yes. This is a Mesorah. But certain things that are just so extreme, are so extreme. What, you're going to tell me this is the Mesorah? I don't know. I'm living in a fantasy world. I really don't know. I don't know anymore. I question myself. When everyone else does suddenly, then I must be crazy. Who knows? All right. Let's go to the next idea. What? You know, they don't want to talk about it. The Israelis, they admonish, you talk this, they don't say a word. They don't say a word. I say, I do talk a little about this. He just doesn't say a word to me. He's just like, they're tired, I asked him why. I'm tired of this already. Enough of this already. Enough, like, just leave me alone. I guess there's so much of an Eretz Yisrael, they're just like, leave me alone. Don't bother me with this. Okay, let's go further. Let's move along. I have here the wrong piece of paper. Okay. Let's move along. Okay, this week's parash, we learned about the melech, the king. The melech has many halachas. And one to require, and you now have too many horses, too many wives, too much money, for various reasons. Then the pasuk includes that what should he do? He has to write a double Sefer Torah, a Mishnei Torah. Beautiful pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'haya kishifte al kisei mamlachto v'chosav loy es Mishnei haTorah hazois al Sefer." So Rashi, what does it mean the Mishnei? Two Sefer Torah. There's one Sefer Torah that's yoytzei v'nichnas imoy in public, and there's another Sefer Torah that he has gonos the days. Gnozov. He has in his home another Sefer Torah. Who are the Malach? Who is the king? So many Mari Chazal. Who is the real Chosan is Doimel Lemelech? But what a Chazal? Who is the real king? Man Malke Rabbanan. Who is the king? Who are the real kings in this world? The Talmidei Chachamim. Many Mari. Talmid man malke rabbanan. This pasuk is coming to teach us the true, the definition of a true Talmud Chacham. And this drum pshutim ad ma'id. Just reviewing what it says in the pasuk. What is the definition of a true Talmud Chacham? A person's toichai kabarai. You practice what you preach. If a melech is someone who has a double sefer Torah, he has a sefer Torah that he yoytzei v'nichnas imay. He stands in front of the tzibur, he gives a drasha, he's a public figure, and he presents the olam with the Torah. But when he goes home and he closes the door, he's like, Andras Sefer Torah. I have a different Torah. I have different standards for myself. I preach one thing for the tzibur, but behind closed doors, I have a different lifestyle, a double life. This is not a melech. This is not man malke rabbanan. A real Talmud Chacham is, he has the Mishnei Torah. A Torah that he presents in the Tzibur is the same exact Sefer Torah that is gonuz bebeis genozov, that is put away at home in his treasury. Meaning, this is what he believes in. This is what he practices. This is his most precious private object. He has a carbon copy of what he carries with him in the street, what he carries on his shoulder, what he presents to the world. He has a carbon copy that he treasures and values and stores in his most private domain. When he's all alone, Gonus Bebeis Ginozov, it's the Zelba Sefer Torah, it's the same principles, it's the same Yerushalayim, it's the same Yadus. This is a real Melech. That's the type of a Melech. But if you have a Melech that has a Sefer Torah that he carries with him in the streets, Yoitze v'nichnas imoy, but it's not the same edition as the Torah that's Gonus Bebeis Ginozov, that's not a Melech. He's missing one of the basic qualifications as a king, and he's not a king. And who is the king of Moshul to? Man Malke Rabbanan. It's just a polite reminder that the person has to be true to form. A person has to be Toichai Kibar. Okay, let's go to the next short idea. We have here in the parasha the sugya of Orei Miklat. Okay, let me tell you two very lach on Orei Miklat. First of all, we have a special lach. It says in the pasuk, Tochin Licha Derech. When you go to Orei Miklat, Chazal learned from you shall prepare Licha for you a road. From this, Chazal learned that there are signs all over Eretz Yisrael that say miklat. Unfortunately, today they do have signs like that for bad reasons. Bomb. What?
All right.
Okay. Bomb shelters. Rahman al-Islam. Miklat. You go over Israel, it's miklat. But in the time of Chazal, it said Ori miklat with arrows pointing how to get to the closest, to the nearest Ori miklat. So a person kills someone. Pasuk says, and the person kills someone by accident. The goyel ki yecham levavai. The Goyel Hadam, the closest of kin to the victim, has the halach, someone who has the halachic right. He's permitted to execute, to take laws, the vigilante yid, he has the right to go and execute the Reitzeach, the one who killed his relative by accident. So therefore, in order that the Goyel Hadam should not have an opportunity to kill the Reitzeach, the one who killed his relative by accident, there are already miklat all over Eretz Yisrael, shelter cities where the Goel Adam may not enter, and there are signs on the roads all over the place directing those who killed by accident to reach the destination. Question: Chazal asked this question. What about signs pointing to Yerushalayim?
None.
There's a mitzvah d'oraisa shalosh pa'amim bashana. Three times a year. Now there were not all that many Reitzchim. We don't know. We hopefully assume there are not going to be too many people that need to go. They need to go to Golis. It doesn't happen every day. Rachman al-Islam, that someone gets killed by accident. But the Gans Klal Yisrael has to be Oil of the Regel every year, three times a year. And yet nowhere do we find a requirement in the Torah that there should be signs all over Eretz Yisrael this way to Jerusalem. This way to Yerushalayim, this road, that road, nowhere. They're not even allowed to have on ways and maps in the Imos HaMashiach, in ways, in the Imos HaMashiach, ways and Google Maps will be instructed not to give directions. No GPS coordinates allowed to guide a person to Yerushalayim. Would you believe that? That's going to be one of the fundamental, you know, Mashiach is here. When you type into your car, I wanted to go to the Kosel HaMaravi, and it's going to say, sorry, not available. We're not giving you directions. Too bad for you. That's going to be. That's what's going to happen. Imos HaMashiach. Waze and Google Maps, it's going to be programmed into their algorithm. If it gets artificial intelligence, if you even get a sense, if the device even gets a sense that this fellow who's typing into the computer is trying to go to Yerushalayim, give him the wrong directions. Take him to Australia. Why is that so? Because the Torah, so what's the simple reason? Because the Torah wants you to pick up some stragglers along with you. If you go to Yerushalayim, you don't know how to go. You have no choice but to stop off the local gift shop. And you say, do you know how to go to Yerushalayim? Yeah, you go here, you go there, and then you'll have a conversation. Why do you want to go to Yerushalayim? Don't you know? Is a mitzvah deraisa, the kamta of your lisa lamokam, shulosh pamashana. And then you cause the person to think, you know, maybe I should also go to Yerushalayim. And then you travel a little bit more and you get lost again and you go into another rest stop and another place. In the process of getting lost and asking for directions multiple times, in the process, you'll pick up a collection of people with you. You'll influence them also to come and spend time in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. But when it comes to a Ritzeach, can you imagine, it's a guy, he kills someone b'shoigeg. He's a murderer. B'shoigeg. Okay? He's by accident. It's not really, no, it's nothing, it's an accident. You say it's an accident. No accident. Okay? He's going, where do you want to go? I want to go to the Ore Miklat. Why do you want to go to the Miklat? You're a murderer? Ooh. Stay right here while I call the police. And while he called the police, who knows, the Goel Hadam will shove and will kill him. So we don't want there to be any delay. We don't want there to be any delay whatsoever. So therefore, tochen l'cho haderech. But when it comes to Yerushalayim, there are no signs. By design, there are no signs. So why? So that you should pick up with you a collection of chaverim who otherwise would not have gone to Yerushalayim, and you'll take them along with you to Yerushalayim. This is the most common answer given among the Mefarshim to understand the difference between the signs in Yerushalayim for Ari Miklat and Yerushalayim. I want to suggest another reason. And the reason is, it's not just, the signs are not just for the murderer. The signs are for the ordinary people. If you have a son, every single day you go to work, you go to Davin, Shachos, every single day. And every single day, you pass the sign that you are tzaddik, mamash, tzaddik yisod olam. A person who cannot hurt a fly. Cannot hurt a fly. Not even a mosquito. You never killed anyone. You would never think of killing someone. It would never even happen to show you you would kill someone. If every single day you see a sign that says, Ore Miklat, it's a polite reminder, the sanctity of life. A person sometimes can lose the sense of the value of life. But when you see on the ordinary citizen in Eretz Yisrael sees a sign, Ore Miklat, you don't think that makes an impression? That, you know, if Rachmana Litzlan, someone dies, that's a very terrible thing. That person really should die. Even b'shoigeh, you killed someone by accident. He's chayav misa. The goyel hadam is allowed to kill him. You don't need a court of law. This guy, how did you kill someone by accident? How did it happen? It was an accident. No such thing as an accident. You should have taken precautions. And you know how I know there's no such thing as an accident? Because you don't even need a court of law. You don't need a trial. You don't need witnesses. Nothing. The Goyal Hadam can come on circumstantial evidence and kill you. And he's a tzaddik for doing so. And the person who killed, look how much we value his life. We have a whole system in place of rehabilitation. He should run to the Ari Miklat to be amongst the Levim who will rehabilitate his neshama and elevate him and restore his neshama. And then there's the Kohen Gadol. He should have been mispalel. It should never have happened. Do you know what the Ari Miklat triggers in a person's mind? And the mother of the Kohen Gadol, she brings food to the people. Every single day, when you go to shul, when you go to work, when you go for a walk with your wife in the park, every single day, you get a chazara, a shir, chazara on the sugya of Ari Miklat. And everything that it entails. The value of human life, the value of rehabilitation, the responsibility of the leadership, the love the mother has for her son that she should not die by providing food and telling the people, even though my son is guilty, don't kill him either. Have rachmanis on him. Don't daven. Do you know how many lessons there are in relation to the human life, the human condition that is derived from the Ari Miklat? Who are the signs for? The one guy in 50 years that killed someone b'shoigeg? He can take out his GPS and it'll tell him how to get there very quickly. Don't worry. He needs to get there. police escort. He'll get there. We really need to go spend millions of dollars on putting up signs all over Eretz Yisrael to tell the one guy who kills B'Shoigeg how to get there. The one guy who killed B'Shoigeg will have a SWAT team on standby to escort him in 10 seconds where he needs to get. It'll be a lot cheaper for Klal Yisrael than spending millions and millions of dollars on making signs and maintaining them L'Yolam Voed. We'll have a team on standby basis to get the guy where he needs to go. So what's the purpose of the signs? Tachin l'cha. The Teretz says the sign is not for the Rotzeach. The sign is for the average citizen in Klal Yisrael. They need to be reminded of the sanctity of life. The lessons of Ari Mikla, what it's all about, what it teaches a person. And likewise, why are there no signs for Yerushalayim? Why are there no signs? Because what does it say in the Torah? Did it ever tell us where the Beis HaMikdash should be? Did it ever say once in the Torah where should be the final resting place of Hashem Shechina? No, it doesn't say. All it says is Hamakoy Masher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha. You put your whole... Some people go to God. Some people are in Yerushalayim. It's the Axelrod. Some people in Yerushalayim, they went to Golos. They were in Yerushalayim and they left Yerushalayim. You told Yerushalayim to go to Golos. You get it? I'm just joking with you. Jerusalem. You sent the Yerushalayim. You stayed and you sent the Yerushalayim into Golos. You don't get it? I'll explain it to you later on. Okay. I'll explain it to you later on for those who didn't get that. Okay, later on. That was a joke. I was supposed to laugh, but I guess it didn't work. Okay, forget it. Forget it. Sorry. Okay, so what about how come there were no signs for Yerushalayim? In the Torah, the Torah doesn't tell you where Yerushalayim is. All it says is L'makayim Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha L'shichnoi Sidrishu Uvasa Shama. You shall seek it out. Finding the place of Yerushalayim is an avodah. It's a quest. It's a holy quest the neshama has to find the source of holiness. The reason why there are no signs for Yerushalayim, I was told, the first simple answer is to chap some people on the way. Right, you don't know where Yerushalayim is, you'll stop off at McDonald's. And you'll say, where is Jerusalem? Jerusalem, you go here. And you'll say, why are you going to Jerusalem? I'll say, you don't know. What do you mean I don't know? I don't eat kosher. I'm in McDonald's over here. You'll go and you'll teach. Oh, you're Jewish. Let me explain to you. The Pshuta Shel Mikra, the reason why there are no signs for Yerushalayim is in order to chap some people on the way. Forget about that. Even if there's no one to chap on the way, in order for you to appreciate Yerushalayim, it shouldn't be easy to get there. If it's too easy to get to Yerushalayim, then you're not going to have that appreciation for Yerushalayim. Forget about who you're going to pick up along the way. There are no signs. So every mile I have to stop by another rest stop and ask, how do you go to Yerushalayim? And in the process, it makes a very powerful erosion upon you, the chavivus of Yerushalayim. This is what all the Rabbanim complain about. Rabbi complains about. Today, unfortunately, it's a fact that we don't appreciate Yerushalayim like our parents did, and our grandparents, You know why? It's too easy. You go on El Al, you have a choice of movies like you never had before. You can watch whatever you want. And they have Daf Yomi, and they also have Kol Lashon. Tell me, how many people really listen to Daf Yomi and Kol HaLashon on the plane? Come on. Everyone's watching the movies. It's much too easy. Because it's so easy, there's no longer L'shichnoi Sidrishu Vasa Shana. If there's no sign for Jerusalem, can you imagine you go to the airport and doesn't say anywhere where the gate is for your plane? You got to figure it out on your own. You know how much work that's going to take? You'll go mad? L'shichnoi Sidrishu. Hashem wants that. Hashem wants there should be no signs to get to Yerushalayim. Not they should pick up people on the way, but you should have a quest. You should search for the spirituality. The chitzoni shalima or the panimi is just like physically I have to go find how to get to Shalayim. I have to have a spiritual quest to seek out the spirituality of Yerushalayim. Okay, that's one var in Ari Miklat. Another var in Ari Miklat is, we talk about, it says here in the pasuk, how did it come about that a person killed someone else b'shoigeg? Person goes to Ari Miklat for Rachmana Litzlan, manslaughter. Now the Torah didn't even need to tell us any exempt. The Torah could have just spoken in vague terms that Reuven accidentally killed the Shimon. And we would be very satisfied. We wouldn't blink. Yet the Torah, for some reason, goes way out of its way and gives us a whole story. A whole big story over here. What's the story? Let me tell you a story you never heard before. What's the story? What happened in the Smaisa Shahaya? Ashayak Esri Vil, that's who Lois Sundla Bidmal Shulshaim. And here's the story. Ashayavoi Esri Ehu Vayar Lach Toy Veitzim. You went out into the forest. Okay, you could have gone to a factory. You could have walked down the street. You were carrying a package? No. Could have been the supermarket? No. The case of the story is you went out into the forest to chop wood. And you went with your friend, to chop wood. And what happened? As you're chopping the wood, the blade, the metal, fell off the handle. And what happened? Instead of hitting the tree, it hit your fellow man. Manslaughter. Question. Why does the Torah illustrate the story of manslaughter with a person chopping wood in the forest? The answer is, this parasha itself tells us the answer. Later on, the parasha tells about a milchama. And in the milchama, it tells us that if you go to milchama and there are some beautiful fruit trees, and it's not bikuach nefesh, don't chop down the fruit trees. Not nice, baltashkes. And the pasuk says, "Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh." Now, the pshuta shel mikra, it's a question. It's very difficult pasuk. What the pasuk means, kofi pshuta. I'm not going into that here now. Let's only focus now, because we are out of time, on the drush. The drush is we read the pasuk not as a question. Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh is an adam and eitz hasadeh. That's the pshuta. The pshuta shel mikra is a question, but the drush is indeed an adam a human being is compared to a tree. Okay, a person is a tree, and there's many madrashim, beautiful metaphors. The metaphor that I personally find is the favorite. I think Rav Soloveitchik says the metaphor that really resonates with me is, you cannot rush the growth of a tree. There are no shortcuts in the development of a tree. If they take you on a tour in California, they show you a tree that's 200 years old, 500 years old, and shows you the rings, you know it took 500 years to get here. You cannot genetically engineer the tree to have its rings and to reach this madrega of growth overnight. There are no such thing as shortcuts in the development of a tree. It doesn't exist in this world. Shortcuts. It takes time. It takes nurturing. There's a process, and there's absolutely nothing you can do to speed up the process. Ki ha'odam eitz hasadeh. Know that in life, there are no shortcuts. You think you're taking a shortcut, you're going to get your degree, or take someone 8 years, 12 years to get a degree in 6 months? Boy, are you foolish? It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Not in earning a parnasa. It doesn't work like that in midos, in yerushalayim, in learning. There's no such thing as shortcuts in life. In life, you have to take the long route. That's a tree. Ki adam eitz hasadeh. But what do we learn? And many more metaphors. But what do we learn? A person's a tree. The pasuk here is coming to teach you an incredible insight. How does it come about in this world such a terrible thing? A horrible thing that another human being is killed b'shoigeg. I didn't kill him to maze it. I didn't try to kill him. I didn't lift a finger. I would never in a million years kill another person. Never. And I even take precautions. Safety first. How did the Ribbono Shel Olam allow it to happen that I was nichshol in taking the life of another human being? How? The Torah tells you how. You know how this happened? Because the story of going to Ohel Mikvah all starts with the metaphor, you're going into the forest with your friend to cut down trees. An Adam is an Eitz HaSadeh. No, what do you mean? What does it mean you're going into the forest? You're sitting around the Shabbos table and you're cursing out this person. This person is a good for nothing, and this rabbi is a good for nothing, and this Askan, they make out of him a lot more than he is, and this one has ulterior motives, and this one has his motives. When you sit around, when two people sit around and they cut down trees, a group of people sitting around and saying, there are other human beings in this world, in our opinion, are worthless. They're worthless. You can cut them down. You can speak Lashon Hara about them. You can write horrible things about them. You can, who knows, you can do whatever you want. You cut them down with your koyach hadibur, your koyach hakasiva. Adrei, you go, you don't really say hello to them, you turn your face against them. So Hashem says, you're not machshev people. You went into the forest to cut down trees. Ki ha'odam eitz ha'sadeh. You know, you need some rehabilitation. And you know how I'm going to make it that you need rehabilitation? I'm going to remove my hashkocha from you. And it's going to happen that taka, you'll kill one of the people that you are machshev. You together, right? Two people together. We love each other. What do we share in common? We share in common that we are going to cut down other trees, other people. A person's a tree. We're going together into the forest. We're sitting around saying nasty things about other people. But we're the best. We're the finest that they possibly can be because we're the ones who are doing the cutting. They're being cut down. Hashem is not pleased when people come together to knock out other people. And therefore Hashem removes his hashkacha from you. And therefore, you know what the end is going to be? You'll knock out each other. One person will knock out the other person. Amongst yourself, you love each other, right? That's what you have in common. The end will be, you'll knock out one will knock out the other, and then the one that knocked out each other will now have to go to Ori Miklat, to the Levium, for rehabilitation, to appreciate that there are other people in this world that you should have some respect for. The whole story of Orei Mikla begins with cutting down trees. And the secret of a tree is this parasha itself. The parasha itself provides the answer. Ki ha'odam eitz hasadeh. If you don't appreciate other people, the end's going to be you're going to lose someone who you do appreciate. And when you lose someone who you do appreciate, you're then going to go through the process of rehabilitation, go to Ari Mikla to learn what is truly the value of a human being and to be rehabilitated, not to go to the forest anymore to cut down other trees / human beings.
Atzei Maracha.
Yeah, so what about the Atzei Maracha? Okay, this is a metaphor, of course. You're cutting down. Of course, you could. You need the wood for the Beis Hamikdash. But it's not a good question. Why does the Torah have to give an example? The pasuk gives an example. It says, first of all, it says over here in the pasuk, Zed v'aharotzech asher yonu shama v'choy asher yake es rebe v'lidas v'hu loy sonei loy mitmol shel shoyim. Soif pasuk. We're finished. We're done. Let's go to the next sugya. No, a whole pasuk giving me a story. What do I need this for? I know the halacha. Thank you very much. I know that already from the previous pasuk. What are you giving me the story for? This is the moral lesson. This is the halachic lesson of what it means to tzeach. How did it happen, such a thing? Doesn't the person have protection? You learn a daf gemara. Hashem provides you with shmira. How did it happen, such a tragedy? The answer is because you don't appreciate people. You're going into the forest to cut down trees. What is a tree? A tree is a person. You don't appreciate someone else, the end's going to be you'll take one of your own. And when you'll take one of your own, then you're going to learn the kind that that itself is torture. And then there's the rehabilitation of going to the Ari Mikvot. Okay, next quick vote. Let's now discuss quickly Edom Zaynenik. Okay, this is very important. Edom Zaynenik is a very unique halach. Edom Zaynenik is a parasha. Edom Zaynenik, two witnesses testify that Reuven, let's say in our words, killed Shimon. So what is the halach? What is the halach? Now another two witnesses walk and they say, you testify that Reuven killed Shimon. How could you possibly know that Reuven killed Shimon? But on the day that you claim the event took place, Imanu Hoyisem, you were with us in a different location, different place. So there's no way in the world you could have known that Reuven killed Shimon. So what does the Torah say? The Torah says, we take these two witnesses, Vasisem loy kasher zomam lasoslach. We do to the two witnesses like what they plan to do to Reuven. Now what does that mean? So Chazal learned, the only time we will execute, in our example, the two witnesses that testified falsely that Reuven killed Shimon, if Reuven is still alive. If the two witnesses testify that Reuven killed Shimon, and Bezdin says, okay, take him out to his execution, and they execute Reuven, and Reuven is in the cemetery buried with a nice matzeva, and it's over, and now two more witnesses walk into court and say, how could these two witnesses possibly have said that Reuven killed Shimon, but Imanu Hayisem? So it turns out that the Bezdin killed Reuven Shaloi Kedin. So the halacha is no, in this case, we do not kill Reuven, the two witnesses. It's too late. Kasher zomam viloi kasher osof. Now the problem is this concept goes 100% against everything that we know in the Torah. Every area of hashkafa and halacha, this halacha is in total violation from beginning to end of everything that we've ever learned in Yadus. In Yadus is a very basic principle. Hashem does not hold you accountable if you plan to do an Avera and you didn't do the Avera. A person packs up his bags, he buys tickets to go do an Avera, and then flight is canceled and he's not able to do the Avera. So is he going to be punished in heaven? No! You got lucky. You got lucky. Hashem prevented you from doing the Avera. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mitzodeif a machshava ra lemaisa. By extension, what do the witnesses say? They testified. The end was that they were proven false. Two witnesses say, Imanu Hayisem, that you were with us, you could not possibly have known. Reuven goes home, no harm done. No harm done. Yet, the two witnesses are taken out to their execution because they planned on doing evil. What? What type of law is this? What government, what law is there in the whole world? Country? What country is there that have sting operations, right? Even in a sting operation where you get the person was about to do the crime, they don't punish the person with the same severity as if he committed the crime. Right? No such thing. No such thing. They punish him. They put him away. But not as if he actually did it. If he actually did, they would throw away the keys. If they got him in a sting operation, so they punish him. But not to the same degree. So what's going on over here? And then if you talk to do it, if you succeed, you're off scot-free. What does that mean exactly? Now, let's not discuss for the moment getting off scot. Let's just focus on for the moment on being punished for planning to do the sin. Why is this against the grain of everything that we've ever learned? The answer is this. I saw this in the Sefer. It doesn't say exactly this, but it's a very powerful insight. What did these two people do? They don't like Reuven. They don't like him. They hate him. How do they know they hate him? They testified that he committed a crime, that he killed Shimon, right? They hate him. Shimon's dead, and they come along, and they say, oh, it was Reuven who killed Shimon. It's false. And therefore, their goal was, we're going to testify falsely that Reuven killed Shimon, and therefore, bye-bye, Reuven, We never have to see you again. We don't like looking at you. You're gone. So the question is, why did you have to get Bezdin involved? If you don't like Reuven, don't be a coward. What are you, a coward? What are you, a baby? If you don't like Reuven, kill him yourself. Right? These two fellows, they come to shul, they see Reuven every day, he's detestable in their eyes. So you don't like him, be a big boy, get up one day, take out a weapon and kill him. And suffer the consequences. Or do it secretly. Or maybe you'll do the perfect crime.
Hire some,
whatever you want to do. What did you do? You went to court. You used the court system. Wow. What a chutzpah. The court system is not like the American court system. Yeah, this is the makom of tzedek, the makom of integrity. Hashem is nitzav with Ba'adaskel. The Ribbono Shel Olam Shechina resides in the court of law. The court of law in Yados is sacred beyond words. The Lishkas Hagozis, we're dealing with Lishkas Hagozis, the highest court is in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mokom Hashuas HaShechina. Hashem is Yoshev Aladin. Ratzak HaShbarchu to create the world with Midas Hadin. This is the ideal. This is the Mokom where the Ribbono Shel Olam is found. These two guys, they took something which is sacred beyond sacred, and they used it for their own self-interest to eliminate someone they did not like. They did their own dirty work, which is absolutely forbidden through the court. This is detestable. This is disgusting. This is the worst of the worst. And that's why this is the exception to every single thing you've ever learned about Judaism. You didn't succeed. It was just a sting operator. It was just a machshava, kasher zaman. You got caught. We're going to do to you what you tried to do to your fellow. We're going to kill you, even though Reuven is still alive, because the chutzpah to take the mokom hamishpat and to use it for your benefit to do an act of chet, an act of corruption. If you want to do an avera, act of sheker, exact of sheker. If you want to do, you want to do something, do it yourself. Because the Torah sometimes allows you to do an avera. Get dressed up in black clothes and go to a place where no one knows you and do whatever you go want. Go, you want to murder him? Murder him. But to use the bezdin to murder him? What a chutzpah. What a chutzpah. Chutzpah nerves beyond. Therefore, we make the exception that sisim loy kasher zoma. And by extension, it also means, and if you succeed, misas bezdin is much too good for you. Because that's a principle that's hard to swallow, that principle. But Chazal tell us, Misas Bezdin has a silver lining. What's the silver lining? Kapara. If a person, Kavayochel is Zoiche to Misas Bezdin, the Bezdin kills him, he goes to Olam Haba. Misas Bezdin brings with it atonement. But if there's no Misas Bezdin, you leave it to Hashem. Hashem takes care of this. Hashem can take care of whatever he wants. And the person dies when Hashem wants, then there's no kapara. He dies in this world, and his problems first begin in the next world. So the loss of Edim Zayin Ramamish pumta keret of everything that we know, because you appreciate this. In life, you have to know your boundaries. We all know we're not perfect. We all know that there are things that we do we should not do. But you have to be very careful. Don't corrupt things that we recognize are sacred. A Beis HaKnesses is sacred. A Beis HaMedrash is sacred. We have our issues with other people. Don't use holy matters for our own agenda. You have an agenda. You have a Yetzirah. You have to satisfy it. Okay. No one's perfect. But at least, don't use the Dover Shebekedusha as a wedge, as an object to get back at people or to get what you want in life. let what is holy be holy, and whatever you need to do, do it yourself. That is the lesson that you can easily extract from the sugya of Edim Zayim. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Well.